Robert Parkinson, founder of RMG Selection, and Robert refuses
to be called CEO
because that's too pompous. You're so modest, a gentleman. A big thumb up for you.
Too many titles.
And, yes, indeed. And RMG Selection is a leading Asia-focused executive search business. And today, Robert will share with us the inspiring career quotes that people usually use. Sometimes, you know, I hate slogans because there are people who can have loads of slogans and quotes without really putting them into action.
Well,
it's sort of an empty thing.
That's it. And you know what? I was thinking, I was looking at LinkedIn or something, and there are some people that do nothing but come out with all these quotes and inspirational things. But do they actually know what they mean half the time? Do they understand why it's significant? Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, that you know, it might make an interesting topic. To actually have a look at some of these quotes and understand why they're effective and why some are not.
Yeah, and
why it's also not good to overuse of them.
Do's and don'ts.
Yeah,
right?
Do's and don'ts.
And let's just go to the first one. Which one is the first that you're going to introduce?
Well, I think the first thing I would say before introducing any of the quotes that I've got for you here is that the whole point of this really is you're using words and pictures as well. So to give you a little taster, if you were to say, imagine a man, your mind would look at, you know, your mind would be very unfocused. But if you were to say, imagine your husband or your son or your daughter, it doesn't matter who it is, immediately you know what you're talking about. Your mind focuses straight onto the thing that you mean. So one of my favorites is, a lot of companies talk about trust, right? Mm-hmm. So one of my favorites is, trust is the glue that binds companies together. Now, that glue, that sort of metaphor, that idea, that image you have in your head of glue, you know, being sticky glue, immediately conveys the message and makes the point for you. Listen to the sentence again without the glue bit. Mm-hmm. Trust binds companies together. You know, it's not effective at all. So this,
it's very vivid.
Yeah, exactly. This vividness is a way of really embedding these quotes to live by, I call them, in our memories. So it can be really important.
I know, but yes, we have found the glue, right?
Mm.
Even in all kinds of relationships, between husband and wife, daughter, you know, father and daughter, son and mother, you name it.
Mm.
We all know, and we all value it, and we all want it.
Mm.
But how can we get it?
Well, that is a that's another story. I suppose another story for another week.
I know.
I think.
But for the company, for businessmen,
for the situation,
just narrow it down.
You know, for the situation, if you're explaining the need for trust, for example, that metaphor is extremely powerful.
But do you think it is blind trust? If for example, you're bumping to some other businessman, which his or her business has a certain, you know, potential cooperation opportunity for you. But do you choose to trust him or her immediately, or do you hold back a little bit?
Well, I think trust is something that's built over time. And, you know, grows and develops as you, and I would probably, my first reaction to that would be, I would hold back a little bit to start with.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, trust is just one.
That you can
example.
Work on the trust,
yeah.
Build up
right.
this
right,
trust.
Right, right, exactly.
Very good.
One example.
That's a very good one.
Another great example I've got for you here is, you know, people in their careers, particularly the first part of their careers, they often have their expectations of their jobs really mismanaged by whoever, their parents, friends, universities. Oh, you can earn this, or this is what I get. These are the perks I get.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time it's rubbish anyway. Yeah. So one of the quotes I really like, and I find this quite motivational actually, is, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And again, that's something that if you really focus in on, what you're doing is you're turning a situation where someone is finding something difficult and explaining that if they conquer it, they will be better people from it. And I would go on to explain that this is particularly important because early on in someone's career, the behaviour that we exhibit tends to then become more and more entrenched. Just like walking through a field once and then 100 times builds a bigger path, to use another bit of imagery there for you.
Yes. Very vivid.
Behaviour tends to be repeated. So, you know, for example, if you give something up too easily and too quickly, that's likely to be repeated again. The number of CVs I've seen, for example, mm-hmm. of people who've been in one job for 18 months, then another, then another, then another, then another.
That teaches us we should embrace hardships and difficulties and whatever.
Absolutely.
But I have a question. Mm. I'm ready to challenge you all the time.
Great.
If I fail to challenge you, I fail this program.
Okay.
Okay, so we know that this one is to teach people that you have to endure.
Yeah.
You have to try your best to be persistent and perseverance mm-hmm. in difficult times. But usually people were, how to say, when do you know it was the last straw that breaks a camel's back?
Yeah,
it's just too much. Because this actual robot, it makes me think about the Gaokao. You know the Gaokao thing, the whole thing? The college entrance examination in China. Every time students were pushed too far, far by parents, by school, by the whole society.
Yeah.
And every year we have some mental breakdowns.
Yeah.
Every year.
Didn't make them stronger.
They broke.
Yes.
So how do you
we've heard some awful stories of people who have allegedly been pushed too far. There was a horrible situation of a girl working for a big four accounting firm in Shanghai who died.
See?
Now, but that may well have been because she had a hereditary heart condition.
Mm.
Or there may well have been some other
psychological thing.
Problem that caused it. I would put it the other way around, actually. I would give you a story someone once told me of a new guy in the military, and he was told to run round this field with his full kit on, bayonet, you know, full military uniform, and he ran round this field, and it must have been 15 miles, and he came back absolutely exhausted, ready to drop, couldn't possibly do it again. And do you know what his sergeant major said? Now you're going to do it again. And
that's the military thing.
He had to do it, and guess what? He did it.
He survived.
And he did it again. So I think, you know, this one I would focus put in the career context that if you set yourself low goals, then all you will achieve is something low. If you set yourself high goals, you might just surprise yourself.
You'll reach the stars. You reach the stars, you end up on the moon.
Well, that should
be there.
Yeah.
Now,
exactly.
Why I brought up this question is that as a boss, right, and as a senior or even mentor, we are supposed to use the right tactics to push young people, right, to go further. And then but at the same time, we need to be responsible for their lives. For the individual themselves, for example, somebody working under you, right? He or she should also be aware, is this the edge?
Yeah.
You know, I should stop here.
Well, I think to answer your question specifically, and actually it's a good question, I think you, as someone who's in a way, in loco parentis, looking after people, you've got to be aware of what the signs of stress are.
Mm-hmm.
So changes in mood, tiredness, sweating, not looking so
even
good.
Even being silent, a very
being
active
silent,
girl, you know,
being
all
withdrawn.
Of a sudden she's not saying anything, right, for 3 days or whatever.
But as well as, you know, being aware of it, I think as part of being an educator or a business person, you have to teach people how to deal with a stress. You can't simply avoid it, mm-hmm. and there are many ways to do that. Exercise,
and by the way,
being a key one.
Is it your responsibility to push, or it's somebody else's? You know, their own business.
I think it's a bit of both.
Yes, indeed. Okay, Byron.
Yes.
You should push me. I should push you.
I really should push you some more. Yes,
indeed. And this is interesting. This is calling. What is that? Whatever doesn't kill you
makes you stronger.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. And we are not killing each other. You are listening to Studio Plus. We will be back very soon.
Studio Plus, a feast of news, culture, and views.
All right, let's go.
Tune in to meet some fascinating people, share their stories.
China is one of the great creative countries.
Old Beijing style.
Exclusively Chinese musicals.
Studio Plus. Something fresh.
Then add in your mushrooms.
Something fun. Something more. Studio Plus.
Yes, you're listening to Studio Plus. We are in the middle of a conversation with Robert Park.
Almost.
You're still getting that. Getting there, right? Robert Parkinson, founder of RMG Selection. Today, actually, we have a lighthearted sort of a topic. Robert is here to share with us some of the quotes and sayings that have inspired him and his team the most in his career.
Yeah.
And we have finished the two, right?
Well, we've got a couple, but I've got two more for you. One is more serious and one is a little bit lighthearted. Perhaps we can end on that one.
Yeah.
I think one that has made a real impact in my life is this, and it's a bit of a presupposition. You know, you have to kind of go with it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the quote is, the meaning of communication is the response that you receive.
This one I love most, Robert.
Yes.
Don't ask me why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you why I think...
You guess why I think it's so important.
I think it's so great because it gives the response... You know, one of the big problems in any society is getting people to take responsibility for their own actions. And what this quote implicitly does is it says, you know, the response you get from someone else is exactly what you've elicited. You know, so if someone's cross,
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, they may...
It's also a response.
Yeah, it's a response to mm-hmm. information you have discussed with them.
China especially. Why, you know, Byron and Robert, I love this best, is that China has a culture and tradition not to challenge the authorities or the, you know... establish the system or whatever, right? And think it's impolite, it's improper to say no or to say what, or maybe to be critical. So we are not very graceful to receive criticism. I mean, these higher sort of impositions.
Yeah.
And for the lower people, subordinates, they, if they cannot speak out their mind, they choose not to respond.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so what's the point of communications if there's no response from people around you?
Little tidbit. I don't think this is just a Chinese thing. I think it's a global thing. I mean, if you look at the other quote, you can have it any color you like as long as it's black. Henry Ford.
Yeah.
And also like Steve Jobs and Jeff Bezos. Well, Steve Jobs in particular, he was known for looking at a product like an iPad or an iPhone. He basically put it on top of a fishbowl, dropped it in and said, see, there's an air bubble coming out. Make it again. Make it smaller.
Yeah.
So I think he's sort of, I don't want to say a dictator, but I mean, yeah.
No, it's different.
The other point I would make on this one, the meaning communications response you receive, is it gives the responsibility for behavioral flexibility to the person who is doing the communicating. So in other words, if you're not getting the right response from your first try, if
that's
you like.
That's your failure, right?
Exactly. Then, but more than a failure, it's an indication you need to try another route. If one thing isn't working, try another direction.
Mm-hmm.
The next quote that I have for you, well, I've got two kind of mixed together. There's a, I'm not sure if I can say this word or not, but I will. But I may get my wrist slapped.
Yes.
There's a, you know, Richard Branson.
Mm-hmm.
From your time in the
Virgin,
UK.
Yeah.
You know, highly successful billionaire. Mm-hmm. You know, one of his very inspiring books, which is about 50 pages long and is entitled Screw It, Just Do It. And I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that mentality. And I must just get this one. This came from my old
Which
boss
mm-hmm.
Many years ago now. And it was always made me laugh. But it gets the point across that in order to accomplish something,
mm-hmm.
that you may have to deal with problems and or even create problems along the way. And the quote is, you can't make an omelette without breaking a few eggs. And, you know, that again is so vivid and visual as a metaphor. And it's also quite funny, I think.
Yes, so. Indeed. Okay, actually, I'm, I may not be so familiar with the person you quoted just now, right? But I'm definitely, as a Chinese mind, I was told, you know, I immediately relate this one.
Right.
To Thomas Edison.
Okay.
You know, the mankind, it's a revolution to have electricity bulbs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he broke so many.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Absolutely.
He keep breaking them hundreds of times, you know?
Absolutely, Madeline. And this is what I say, particularly to my new staff. You know, you've got to make mistakes because you'll learn from them.
Yeah.
You know, that's how life works. You know, you can't make an omelette without breaking eggs. Love it.
But, you know, just now, Byron, you said Steve Jobs is saying, you know, he break it himself and push the others, you know, his employees to make it smaller, make it smarter.
And I do
like
love this quote because I feel like in China there isn't enough education that actually focuses on creativity, on innovation. Because that's what innovation is, making mistakes and learning from them.
Okay, so our education system is more sort of feeding and lay the foundation of the knowledge base.
Yeah.
We are good at doing that. And because of the discipline thing, so maybe it hinders students from developing more, being more creative. But my point of view about this thing is still, usually if we are ordinary people, we are not Thomas Edison, we are not Steve Jobs, so we are not Robert here. Usually after several failures, you know, we're disheartened, we're discouraged. You know, this actually tries to teach us that it's all normal. How can we maintain this persistence and perseverance?
And this is really interesting because this is where it gets into the whole personality HR thing. You see, I'm someone who, one of my qualities is I refuse to give up. I carry on going until I get something done, almost to a sort of obsessive compulsive level. And I think that may be why I've had a little bit of success in the business world. You know, that's one of the things that you need to drive you on.
And actually, we belong to the same species.
Yes,
I have been in front of this microphone for just too long.
Right.
Too many years. I've been telling Byron, I said, if you want to perfect in your field, you have, number one, young people out there, choose your field, your interest, right?
Yeah.
And then stick to it.
Exactly.
Then you're going to perfect it, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, try to be, I don't know, stubborn.
Yeah.
In your pursuit.
Well, do you know what? On the last point you made, I think it's a really good one. I always say to people that are interning with me or working with me, actually, by the time you get to your mid-30s, it really doesn't matter what job you do. Just make sure whatever you do, you do it well.
Another tip from me is that if you want to be persistent and perseverance, you're not really always looking at the end or the result. I achieved that position. No, you enjoy the process.
Exactly. You enjoy the journey.
I think Thomas Edison, again, I'm going to just use him as an example.
Yeah.
Every time he failed his experiment, his interest is still there.
Yeah.
Keeps him doing. No, I have to try again. You know, this doesn't work. I'm going to do it again tomorrow when I got up. If you're aiming for gaining something, you know, you lost your interest.
Yeah.
Listen, it's like investing in the stock market. The money never comes. And you say, oh, I'm not going to. I'm going to, you know, just stop doing that.
Yeah.
Right?
And then it comes along when you've just taken it out.
So actually, last a little bit time is the black thing. Explain that one.
As long as
you stay black.
As long as you have any color, as long as it's black.
In the
1920s, you had the T. Lucy Ford model, and it, basically the car, everyone in America wanted this car, but it only came in black.
And then?
Because Henry Ford said you can only have it in black, and that's just the way it was.
That means you have to succumb to the reality.
But to your boss.
But the quote was, the humor in it was, you can have it any color you like, as long as it's black.
Okay, there's no negotiation,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank
all
you so
orders.
Much, Robert.
Hey, a pleasure.
Enjoyed.
Pleasure.
Huh? We're going to have more, right, next week on Wednesday.
I'm in London next week.
Oh, my goodness.
But I think my
when you come
colleague
back.
Is going to come along.
Good.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Robert Parkinson. Doctor of RMG
Selection.
Future
doctor.
Future doctor,
thank you, Byron,
PhD.
For anointing me.
Yes, it's like a title, another title you can add to that.